Well, that's a good start. We actually kicked off the show how we planned. How about that? You put together that beautiful show card, and we got to show the world it, and now here we are. So what are you embarrassed about?
I'm just laughing. I'm like, because as one should do professionally, but thank you calling that out, my friend.
I don't call
it's it out. I love
I'm
you, though.
Congratulating us. Listen, we're a new organization. We're just getting our feet on the ground, so people are more than willing to give us a little grace as always, but and I need it because I've been on the road, like we were talking backstage the last 2 weeks following Pearl Jam around. But enough about me, Sia. How are you and what's new in your world with Brilliant Beam Media?
Oh my gosh, so much going on. I mean, a lot of work. Can I just tell you, I'm very proud of myself. I'm just going to say it. I did 76 clip videos this weekend.
That's a lot. Ready for me? I'm just kidding.
I've done all yours. You're all caught up. No, okay. So I have, and you guys will talk about this is about like, sometimes, you know, you got to put yourself up and out there, right? Like you're doing with this show, right? Well, the problem is like, I'm the shoemaker's children has no shoes. So I will make, you know, content for other people, but I forget, you know what? You should support your own shows and your own projects. And so I went to town. I went back to February for all the gnaw on this episodes and finally made the short clips for them. And not even done. I'm up to April now. So,
listen, gnaw on this, if not for gnaw on this, you and I would have never met. So shout out to Ben Baker, our good friend. His show was on maybe 2 years ago and I just happened to be chatting away and lo and behold, you and I hit it off in the chat. And next thing you know, 2 years later, you're still producing shows for me and sleeping in my house at times for-
To clarify. Clarify. I am on the couch.
I don't need to clarify anything. We're adults and we do things as friends and you're welcome to sleep in my house anytime. And I have a couch for you. We'll just leave it at that. So, and of course, because of all the work you do, I'm so thankful for your sponsorship and your support of the appeal and all things that I do, frankly, with the Walking Tall movement and Hail Hail Auctions. But of course, this show, Sia, would not be possible without our presenting sponsor, Speakeasy Custom Tattoo. And if you don't know, Speakeasy Custom Tattoo is located in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago in the historic Flatiron Building. And with over 30 years of experience, they have a curated staff of magnificently talented local and international artists, and they continue to host monthly guests from all over the world. They're an appointment-only custom tattoo shop offering a wide range of styles in a clean and relaxing atmosphere. And no matter the style you're looking for, they will absolutely help make your vision come to life. So if you're in the market for a tattoo, check out their artist on their website at www.speakeasycustomtattoo.com. Be sure to tell them Chris sent you. And Sia, let's get this show started, huh?
Let's do it, my friend. Ding, ding,
look at that. Speaking of putting yourself up and out there, you didn't comment on my dapper jacket I'm wearing today.
Not gonna lie to you, I was so focused on like production. But that being said, I love that jacket. Is that new?
It's a newer part of my repertoire. I'm gonna start wearing it on stage this coming fall for some of the auctions I do. But if you can't tell, this is a black jacket with some really awesome sequenced rhinestone lightning bolts on the what do they call these, the lapels here. So as an auctioneer, as you know, it's incumbent upon us to stand up and stand out to help raise money. So a jacket like this helps us stand out. So do you have anything in your closet that helps you stand out?
That's so funny you should mention that. So when we went to Checkpoint CPX 2025 in Las Vegas, the Brilliant Beam Media team, we all wore two jackets, two blazers that had sparkles. One had sparkles along the sleeves, all the way down, like a full sleeve. And the other one had like more like sparkles towards the end. So a little bit more subtle. But we were sporting the sparkles for sure. You got to stand out, right?
You have to. So. And that's why I'm so excited to have today's guest on. And for those of that, for those that have been paying attention to what it is we're doing on the appeal for the last year or so, you've likely seen Chris Hensley and you've obviously heard me talk about him. He's a friend. He's a mentor. He's the one who helped me get into this business of fundraising and auctioneering. And if you don't know, gosh, this was maybe 3 years ago now. I hired Chris as an auctioneer for a function I ran for a former employer. And he and I and Chris Chelios, nonetheless, the three Chrises were standing behind or backstage. And I had just gotten off the mic doing some welcoming remarks. And Chris Chelios looked at me and said, "Hey, you're really good on the mic." And Chris Hensley said, "Yeah, you are. You could do what I do." And I kind of laughed it off. And then lo and behold, 6 months later, as life would have it, there's twists and turns and unexpected things in every aspect of our life. And I needed to make a transition in careers. And I reached out to Chris, and he's just been such a guiding light, such a mentor. He's allowed me to shadow him. He's given me advice. And as you know, auctioneering, we can only be in one place in one night. And so as busy as he is, I've been so honored and fortunate and thankful. When he's already booked, he's sending other great community building organizations my way. And it's just helping grow Hail Hail Auctions. And so I can't wait to highlight him as we have in the past. He's the one who's helped me kind of get out of my comfort zone, wearing some elaborate gear on stage. This is not necessarily who I was, but it is who I am now. So Sia, I love you. I wish you could stick around, but I'm going to bring Chris on and we're going to have a lot of fun the rest of the show. Okay.
See you guys. Have a great, great show, and see you later. Wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, that didn't work. There he is, Chris. You got, look at that spicy jacket you got on. What is that, mustard today? What color you got going?
Yeah, you know, I've got this gold glitter one that kind of, you know, calls to your lightning bolts there. I think I wore it, you know, the first time I was on the appeal. So I had to bust out another one. This is from my favorite suit maker here in Chicago, Boulevardier. Zach and Kirsten at Halstead and Hubbard in the city make all of my stage clothing. And I have to tell you, Chris, like, it's the most natural thing for me to, like, you know, my girlfriend says, like, what's the line? Like, you know, when I put on a full sequined jacket, you know, or suit or something. And I'm like, hey, when I'm wearing Elton John's duck costume, you know, like, that's the line. Like,
the San Diego chicken is coming out on stage.
We'll call it there. So no, I like to have fun. You know, it's important. You've got, you know, the great auctioneer voice yourself. You know, the voice is obviously important. The cadence, the call, whatever you chant, whatever you call it, is important. But you know, you got to look the part a little bit as well. And
yeah, I'm learning that through you. And as I tell everybody, and as I hope you know and feel how much I love and just am so appreciative of all of your efforts and investments in me to help Hail Hail Auctions grow. And as I'm learning, you got to look the part. So yeah, this lightning bolt jacket is a little bit out of my comfort zone, but it's fitting because there's a great song called Lightning Bolt by Pearl Jam. So I'm a little bit more comfortable. See, I had to get it in. You know, I did. You know, I did. But listen, man, you've been so busy. Q1 has been just a trailblaze of events for you. I know this is maybe, if I'm not mistaken, your first season full time in auctioneering and not having another job, if you will. So what's that been like for you? Catch me up.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think I've done about 30 events so far this year. I've got about 75 booked for the season, for the full year. You know, we're kind of coming up to the end of the spring season now. You know, but God, you know, it's of those 30 events, like 27 or 28 have either, you know, been first time kind of paddle raise, you know, maybe five of those, but 20 of them have set records. You know, there've only been a couple events that have not set records. You know, and I attribute that to a few things, like, you know, first, you know, working with committees in advance. I mean, this is a pro tip for any of the, you know, so I saw Karen Bruck is out there, you know.
RJ's in the house too. What's up, RJ in Oak Lydon? We'll talk about you in a little bit.
Ran into RJ at an event a couple weeks ago, I guess now. But you know, it's working with the committees in advance, you know, making sure that the staff, the event planners, whoever's putting the event on, is focused on those table chairs, table hosts, table captains, whatever you call them, because it's a lot easier. If you've got 300 or 400 people, it's a lot easier to focus on 30 or 40 table hosts than it is on all 300 or 400 people. Mm-hmm. And it's also a lot more natural for your table host to invite the right people and then, you know, convince them, chat with them in advance of the event so that they know it's a fundraiser, so that they show up expecting there to be a paddle waiting on the table for them, that they've even maybe even thought about, like, what am I going to give tonight? You know, and then I hope that either something I do or the organization does through a speaker or through a video motivates that person to go from 500 to 1,000 or 1,000 to 2,500 or whatever. So, yeah, you know, that I attribute a lot of the season's success so far to that. You know, a lot of returning customers, clients, you know, from previous years also. So, you know, you kind of get into that groove after year two, year three, year four. And I'm also after year four, I'm also not like shy about saying, you know, maybe I need a different auctioneer to, like, you know, freshen things up. That's okay. Right.
Do you know any who could do the job?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Take a breather, go to Chris, go to Danny, go to Greg Dellinger, and give me a break for a while. I'll go find another gig somewhere else. I'm doing events all over the country now. I've got one out in Omaha for the Omaha Zoo coming up in September.
Amazing.
I'm out in Tucson. I'm out in Southern California, New York City. You know, so getting around. And I know you get some wings also and go out and do some stuff on the coasts also. So it's exciting. I love the job. Yeah. I love the freedom. I love not having a day job and just being an auctioneer full time. It's what I was born to do. It's what I'm best at. So let's just lean into it.
Yeah, I feel the same. You know, this is a calling that you've actually showed to me and proven to me that I could do a really good job at. And as you said, you know, what we're aspiring to do with Hail Hail Auctions, and I know you're doing the same with Bid Raise Bid, is get invested in a little bit more deeply in some of the organizations we partner with, right? That's why I created this podcast, to have some of our partners on to help amplify their mission, to help spread the word about the work that is that they do. And I'm finding just the same. The longer I'm invested is not the word, right? But the longer I'm interjected into the planning process of a gala or a fundraising event, the better it's going, right? The better we can calculate promotions, the better we can find timing to have them on the appeal, the right auction items can be curated amongst the two of us, things of that sort. So what I'm finding is the longer investment we're making in organizations over time, it is just that, turning into more fundraising, right? And gone are the days of transactional auctioneering businesses of, hey, we need an auctioneer. Can you come in 2 weeks? Great. Here's the bill. Here's the thing. And we're done. Like, that's not paying the price anymore, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I had a potential client reach out the other day and said, you know, what's your rate? It's only 20 minutes. And I'm like, well, if you think it's only 20 minutes, then I'm not the right guy. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to lean into the mission of the organization, because, you know, I think those the people who are working for the organizations, you know, RJ, Karen, the others that are on the phone or on the call, you know, they get it. They know that it's important that we meet in advance. It's important that your auctioneer understand your mission and be able to, you know, get that mission across to your guests in a heartfelt way, in an authentic way also, right? And if they don't, they're just up there, yelling at your audience and calling out numbers and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly right. And there are so many organizations I know you're invested and involved in, as am I. A great example for me, right, is the Rotary Club of Schaumburg-Hoffman Estates. I was so fortunate long ago to be invited to speak to them about my mental health journey and the Walking Tall movement and that experience and that passion of mine. And lo and behold, it turned into, hey, you also do auctions? And we have a gala coming up. And so that organization, in essence, got to see the two different hats that I wear, the mental health advocacy version of me, and then the fierce fundraiser, fun guy that's on stage. But it really is paying dividends for organizations and for folks like us to find what I call community board building organizations that we can be invested in, that we believe in, and that we can actually be authentic when we're on stage promoting their mission, right? Selling a trip, selling an autographed item, selling a tangible thing, we can do, right? But when we're invested and we're involved and we understand the heart of that organization, it goes so much farther and so much more authenticity is created. And therefore, we're both seeing greater giving from participants and attendees in some of those events, right?
Yeah, Chris, I had an event on Friday night last week. This is for Kara Collective Chicago, this incredible organization that raises money to help people, you know, coming out of prisons, get job training, get that first job, you know, after getting back, and help them keep the job and continue to walk along with them, right? And so I did the event last year for the first time, and we set a record. We raised $343,000 in about 40 minutes, right? And this year, same number of people, same night of the week, Friday night, same weekend of the year. You know, similar live auction packages, no more in terms of quantity, that type of thing. In fact, I think last year we had a Morocco package that sold for more than this year's, you know, kind of big trip package. But anyway, so we did 343 last year, same dynamics. We did $500,000 this past weekend, right? And so, you know, it's just, you know, incredible organizations. I think, you know, in addition to that, kind of working with, you know, table hosts, making sure that people are ready to come and give and all of that. I think there's a little bit in the environment right now about, you know, now more than ever, because so much is changing. You know, RJ could come on this call and we could talk about the impact that the federal government is having on his organization and other organizations like his. And then if Medicaid, and I don't want to get too political, but if Medicaid gets cut, you know, that's going to have a dramatic impact on pretty much every American, right? And 100%. So we're out there doing these things to raise money for small, mid-sized, sometimes large nonprofits, and it makes a game-changing difference for them. So when you can put somebody on stage that can take an event to a record 1 year and then raise another, you know, $157,000 the very next year, that's gold. That's gold. Right.
So just like your jackets, just like your jackets, it's gold. And and I promised those who tuned in today that we would drop some nuggets, right? And you've done just that already, talking about table captains and the preparation and involving your auctioneer earlier in the planning process, as you and I both are changing the market as it relates to that organizational standpoint from a gala perspective. But the other thing that I wanted to highlight, and I wanted to really take note of, and I'm glad RJ's here, because as we know, you were booked. You had a prior engagement for Oak Lydon's event earlier this year.
I was out of the country, actually. You know, one of the things that one of the things quitting my day job affords me is the ability to travel a little bit more. And so my daughter, you know, she's got a day job. She works for another great nonprofit, the Joffrey Ballet here in Chicago. Awesome. And she was like, hey, the only week I can get off is the week leading right up to Easter. And, you know, so I was like, yeah, book it. And then I looked at my calendar and I was like, oh, man, I told RJ that I was going to be there. So I was like, hey, RJ, I'm not going to leave you high and dry. I'm going to hook you up with a great auctioneer. Here's Chris.
And you still haven't hooked him up with a great auctioneer. He's still mad at you about that. No, what I wanted to say, and what I really want to hone in on here for a little bit, if you don't mind, is what organizations can do to make our jobs easier, right? And what I mean by that is I did a gig this past Saturday for an amazing up-and-coming school called Headwaters Academy in Elburn, Illinois. They're a nature-based institution promoting K-8 as it is today. They're lifting off. They're launching in August of 2025. And their executive director, Sarah Elliott, had such eloquent words, said such great things about the work that's been done already, that folks were already like, how much more can I give? How much more can I give, right? So like somebody in RJ, when he gives his welcome remarks, or when there's a form of entertainment that we could follow up. So to Oak Lydon's credit, they brought their beautiful choir on stage prior to me doing my job, which only amplifies the excitement and the enticement to open up those pocketbooks, as we say. So talk a little bit about that in your expert opinion. How can organizations set us up for greater success with welcome remarks or entertainment, things alike?
Yeah, so I could go in a lot of different directions on that question, but I think the one thing that organizations can do where they can have the most impact is that piece that happens right before the paddle raise, right? So whether it's a video that's really well done, and that video at the Kara event was incredible this past Friday night, you know, and then it's like what happens in the program as that video ends, and is there anything in between when I get back on stage with my microphone and start to say, "Hey, folks, we're at the heart and soul of our event now," right? Yep. And so, why I bring that up is like sometimes a client will have a great video or even a great speaker, and then they'll do something else in between that great video or that great speaker. And it's like a cooler. It's like an icer, you know,
the cooler.
The yeah. Casino. Exactly.
Have
exactly.
you ever seen that movie, by the way, The Cooler? That's a great one.
Yeah. And so, you know, it just like freezes the room and they forget about this great story that they just heard in the video. And so it's like, I want to go directly from the video or directly from the speaker. There was this other event and I had to miss it this year just because of scheduling conflict, but called Lake County Haven. Incredible organization. Their event happened on Saturday night. I'm waiting to hear how their event did, but I was at another event they had this speaker last year. Her first name was Trishanda. For privacy reasons and for memory reasons, I won't say what her last name is, but
it's more memory, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And so she got up there and spoke and was so eloquent and so impactful. And touched people in such a way that, you know, they didn't think they had a $5,000 donor in the room. So they'd asked me to start at $2,500. And then after Trishanda spoke, I was like, you know, I was just feeling it. I was like, all right, we're going to give this a try at $5,000. And we ended up having 7 gifts at $5,000. I probably exactly. talked about this in the appeal previously when I was on, but that story stands out so much. And the reason why her story landed was because the organization worked with her to help craft that message. So I'm actually doing this tomorrow at 11 a.m. I'm going to go visit a speaker who's going to be on stage at an event in June, on June 6th. And I'm going to her business. I'm going to meet her. She's been impacted by the organization, Humble Park Health. In a positive way, right? You know, they provide her care. They provide the care for the community, you know, on a vast scope of West Side of Chicago. But I'm going to go visit her at her shop, and we're going to talk, and we're going to craft her message. Yeah. She's already a great speaker, but when you're told you've got 3 minutes to get this in, right? You got to make every word count. And so that speaker or that video, right before I come up and say, folks, it's time to put your paddles in the air and give from the heart. Make a personally significant gift, right? That speaker, that video, that combination of video, then speaker, you know, somebody that was highlighted in the video then comes back and is standing on stage and they give a little bit more color. That's the most powerful thing that a client can do. It is. Absolutely. It's really, it's an art. Somebody just said in the comments, it's an art.
It is. I often ask, and personally too, if just like you, and I would be more than willing, as you are, to go meet with keynotes or folks that are tasked with helping elevate the giving prior to us getting on stage. But I often ask for the keynote speech ahead of time because I like to pull words out of that speech and hone in back on when I'm selling items, right? Relating back to, hey, remember when so-and-so said this, or hey, don't forget about this statistic we just learned about, right? Yeah. And that leads me to one more point. God, we're running out of time already. Like we talked about backstage, we can go on for hours, but the AV quality, right? Too many times in various organizations, events I've worked already, the computer crashes or the sound is too loud or too soft or the lights are too bright, right? So going through those dry runs as I'm learning is just as important as opposed to just showing up and doing the gig, if you will, right? Like planning, doing a dress rehearsal, getting there early to test the AV equipment is so important because like you said, right? One wrong turn and it could just crash an event and you can go from an elevated giving to an average giving in a short amount of time, right?
Yeah. So, hey, there's a couple questions in the chat here also I want to get to.
Yeah, let's get to those.
Do you ever want to bid yourself? Chris, how about you? You ever want to bid yourself?
Well, yes, I have, frankly. And I will say that oftentimes, I don't know about you, but during a paddle raise, when I get to a denomination I'm comfortable with, I often get back to that organization because if I'm the one giving on stage, it will likely lead to more gifts by participants. And that's shown to be true. And therefore, and because of that, I don't work with organizations I don't believe in because I don't want to give them my money. So there has to be that give and take, right?
Same. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll do that too. Here's the way I'll do it. Like I'll have a number in mind. I'm either going to give 500 back or 250. Sometimes it's 1,000. That starts to get like a little
bit. You're making a lot more money than me as an auctioneer, bro. Well, holy
shit.
I would give it all away if I could.
Since I left my day job, you know, it's a little bit different, but if I'm going to get 500, I do the 500 level, right? I clean the room out at the $500 level. And then I come back and I say, all right, let me try something here. If I can get five people to give $500 still at this level, we're pretty much done at this level before we move on. Let me get five people to give it and I'll give my own if I can get five people to give. And so when they give their 500 and I give mine, that's $3,000. And that's pretty close to my fee, right?
Yeah.
And so that's just another way that, you know, we can support these organizations. Somebody else said, there's another question here about, you know, how they were told by a nonprofit that they felt like live auctions were tacky. Can you address that? Yeah. So if you want to raise money, there are multiple ways to do that in an event setting, right? You know, you want to have a spectrum of giving opportunities because there are people who can give $20 and there are people who can give $20,000, right? So spectrum, you know, and so you want to have these things in between there, right? So you want to have a raffle or a game that gives people that $20 opportunity to participate.
Heads or tails, something like that we see often.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you may want to have a silent auction, although more and more of my clients are moving away from those. If you can build a great silent auction, they're still effective, right? And that's, you know, the 100, the 250, the 500, the 1,000, the 1,500 kind of gifts, you know, maybe a few other bigger ones. And then you want your live auction to kind of hit that, you know, upper echelon of that giving spectrum, you know, so 2,500, 5,000, 75, 10, 20, you know, 15, 20 and above. And then your paddle raise. And what I've started is like, hey, if I know I've got somebody in the audience that can give $5,000 and it is likely to raise their paddle, let me try to take a swing for the fences, right? And so what I used to do is say, you know, I'm going to start at $5,000, but is there anybody in here that wants to be the superhero, the champion that can give at $10,000? And that puts another cap on it, right? And so what I've done for the last year or so is there anybody in the room that can get, I'm going to start at $5,000, but is there anybody in the room that can give something more than $5,000? Name your own price and I'll run out to the audience. I did this on Friday night as well. And they knew they had a $15,000 superhero, but I got two at 20, right? And so those people would have likely given at 15 if I hadn't given them that ability to name their own price. I've had a 1.5 million gift that way. I've had a $500,000 gift. I've had a $200,000 gift. I've had a ton of $50,000 gifts.
100%.
And so I'll always swing for the fences, right? And if it doesn't come through, if nobody raises their paddle, I very quickly, within like 5 to 8 seconds, I will say, thank you for letting me try. On mic, I'll say
yes, exactly.
Thank you for letting me try. I know the answer. It's a guaranteed no if I don't ask. So I have to ask, right?
I say the same. I'm not afraid to fail. I get on stage and I'll say, as your auctioneer, folks, I'm here to help raise money. I'm going to ask for the most. It doesn't mean you have to raise your paddle at that level. And to your point, what I often do as we wind down on a paddle raise, I like to have a lot of fun with audiences, right? For that lower denomination, I'll run around the crowd like a madman. And I'll sell high fives and hugs for $100 or $250, right? And what that does is it creates a connection with the audience, right? And as that is my last impression of the night, right? They're gonna say, that auctioneer was amazing. He gave me a hug and a high five. And then the photographer put a nice photo together for it. And I've seen that effort raise an extra $5,000 or $10,000 unplanned, right? Because you do such a good job. People want to get near you and high five you for the job you do. And it's just so much fun.
Giving is personal. And when you can make people feel good about giving, I mean, whenever I see somebody with a big smile on their face, raise their paddle, I will literally call it out. I'll say, you know, 3, 1, 4, at $5,000 with a beautiful smile on her face as well. And then I'll add, because it feels good to give, right? It feels good to support these organizations. And so back on that question, I just want to wrap up on that, you know, live auctions, tacky kind of thing. You know, it's a tool, it's a mechanism to raise money. Events should never exist for the sake of an event. They should exist to engage your donors, right? And so
100% awareness.
Sell them an experience. If you sell them an experience that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives, they're going to be grateful to your organization. There are some people, again, there are two types of donors. Just like there's that spectrum I talked about earlier, there's two types of donors. There's donors that will give altruistically from the heart with nothing expected in return. And then there are donors who would like something in return for their gift. And that's where a live auction, a silent auction come into play, right? Yep. And so, you know, events exist to build relationships so that you can go from transaction with a donor to relation with a donor, right? You want to build that relationship because they're going to give you bigger and bigger gifts and then ultimately a planned gift if you lean into that relationship in the right way and steward them for their giving.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, we're winding down on time, believe it or not. We could go on for another hour or two, and we're going to have you back on as always. But Chris, as you know, man, I think the world of you. You are a rock star in this industry. I'm so humbled that you think I could do this alongside you, and you're so willing to give some of your precious partners over to me to help raise money. I'm just having so much fun doing it, man, and it wouldn't be without you. If not for you, I wouldn't be doing it.
I think RJ is going to reach out to you first next year. I mean, you do a great job.
Yeah. And this has been just so much fun. And like I always say, what you were just speaking to, not only do events and podcasts and productions like this help raise money, but we, the both of us, aspire to raise awareness for community building organizations. And in essence, that's what we're doing. And Chris, that's what you do best, man. And again, I'm just so honored to be your friend. I'm so excited to continue on this journey with you to see what the future holds for us both. I know it's super bright for you. I hope mine is just half as bright as yours. So if you don't mind, let folks know, how can they find you? Where can they get in touch with you? What is some of the information that they can utilize to get a hold of you if they want?
Yeah, thanks. BidRaiseBid.com is my website. You can see sizzle reels there. You can read reviews. I'm also, Chris, you're there too. I'm live streaming this on my LinkedIn right now. I love LinkedIn. It just helps us connect with people in the social world. And then, when you see them in the real world, you can be like, wow, that was an incredible post, picture, whatever, you're making such an impact. BidRaiseBid@gmail.com and my phone number 630-750-1045. So I'm pretty reachable. I'm ready to work.
Yes, you are, as am I. And so the more business you book, the more it seems I'll have in my portfolio too. So folks, if you're interested in working with any one of us, reach out to Chris or myself, bidraisebid.com or hailhailauctions.com. We're happy to help raise awareness and money for your community building organization. And Chris, as you know, this show would not be possible without some of our sponsors. We're going to get to those and thank them. But man, I love you. Thank you for being on today. And we'll have you on again soon, huh?
Love you too, man. Good luck out there.
See ya. This show wouldn't be possible. We want to thank once again our sponsor, our presenting sponsor, Speakeasy Custom Tattoo in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. Patrick and Kelly are like family. I don't let anybody else but Patrick put a needle on my skin, and I got some really great artwork to show for it. So if you're in the market, please reach out to them. I'm happy to help you connect. And of course, Sia, Chris, we didn't even get to talk about Sia and Brilliant Beam Media, how amazing she is producing this show. And you got to meet her in Chicago when we went to the red carpet event at Madame Zuzu's. Sia is just a rock star in herself, and I'm so honored to have her. And then, of course, we have some other great folks and Tausi Brands of Janice Shokarin. Without her and her energy and mentorship and passion, I wouldn't be here myself. So, Sia, let's get to that Tausi commercial. We'll get on with our day. Chris, I love you. Have a great rest of your day, and hail, hail.
Falling asleep with your neck in the wrong position can be a real pain in the neck. Literally. People of all ages are falling for Tausi. Tausi gives you the comfort you've always dreamed of. Go to TausiBrands.com and get your comfort on.